Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, October the 30th, 2009. Why is the market lower? Corn and bean harvest has been halted throughout the Midwest. We'll look for answers today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Gavin McGuire. He's at eHedger in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today in studio include Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and Corey Winstead of AgriVisor LLC out of Bloomington, Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open today's discussion with a series of questions. Brian, how much grain, corn and or beans, did the Andersons take in this week?
I'd say right now, Todd, most of the focus was corn this week. The rain intermittent this week kind of kept us out from getting beans. Had a decent corn week. I would say probably in the tune of maybe a couple of percent was completed. But we're only 10% done in our draw territory on corn and about 60% on soybeans.
Corey, will there be much of an increase in the harvested figures released by USDA next Monday?
I don't think so. We're looking maybe 5% for the entire week. Just it's been so wet. It's been a pretty slow go this past week.
And welcome to the show, by the way. Corey Winstead, quickly give me background on yourself.
Well, I've been with AgriVisor since April. Before that, I was with Edward Jones as a financial advisor for 3.5 years.
And Pete Manhart now, a quick question for you. Is it the harvested number or the crop condition rating that will make the difference on Monday when it's released?
Well, I think they'll both be in there because the harvested number is going to be way, way behind and not go up much, and the quality continues to go down.
All right, here's something to consider. I asked myself Friday afternoon why corn was down about 32 cents for the week, beans off 28. Frankly, I got to tell you, I'm not convinced that any analyst or even the market has a good handle on the reasons for that one. So you all pointed to the outside market, didn't you? So how about this? In a just-in-time delivery system, the burden of carrying inventory is transferred to the supplier. In this case, the farmer. And the farmer has more risk in that case because the crops in the field and the trickle of grain coming into the marketplace has allowed the end user to become more efficient. They don't have to store anything. They've taken financial advantage of that at the commercial level, feeling safe at this point that the crop will be harvested and will be big. What I'm saying is that the just-in-time delivery system is satisfying needs of the end users, and they're perfectly happy to operate in that fashion because the farmers are willing sellers of grain across the scale between, I don't know, 370 and 410, basis December corn. I think that explains the lull this week in the marketplace. Okay, commented on it if you like, but what happens when the weather turns clear and dry next week and the tailgates open with a flood of grain?
Well, I think you're going to see selling pressure, just as you mentioned. Obviously, the market has presented some opportunities as we've got back up above $4. Intraday high, I think, was around 4.13 last Friday, a week ago before the outside markets resumed some pressure this week. obviously, from a demand standpoint, this has been a supply issue. And with lack of demand in corn at the $4 level, the producer is going to take advantage of prices and drive the market lower as harvest progresses.
Corey?
Yeah, Brian, I think you're right. I think, you know, the demand that we have seen, well, the demand is there or will pick up, I think. But right now, you know, the supply, it's just hard for those guys to get to the crop to get it out. And next week when we do get the opportunity with the clear weather, you're definitely going to see the price continue to go down just with the flooding rain.
All right. Corn price this week, by the way, ranged from a 402 and three quarters top in the December to a low of $3.63. Settled just above that at 366, 31 and three quarters lower from the previous week. December corn of next year, the 2010 contract at 411 and three quarters was down 18 cents. How do you position producers to protect themselves against a lower market, or are you thinking on the opposite side of that? Because there are some analysts out there that are talking about a higher market as opposed to a lower market now.
Yeah, there's all kinds of places out there. We had guys last week selling 210 corn for 34 to 38 to position next year. But this year, when we were over four, which we were for a long time, we tried to get everybody to either have puts and or cash. There lately, not much you can do when you can't harvest and you don't have the price up where you want to do it. But we've had a lot of people just selling it out of the field and ready to then or reposition in calls, not spend the 20, 25, 15, whatever, to store it into the winter, especially because of the quality of the corn.
Yeah, speaking of which, is the quality, do you think, I don't know whether you'll know whether it's deteriorating very much yet or not. What are you supposing?
Well, I'm guessing right now, if the weather turns off better, like they're saying next week, then the quality may or may not be an issue. It's too early to tell. I mean, 10% of the corn around this area has been harvested, and while early on, some of the early planted corn, you saw a lot of diplodia, a lot of cob rot in it, it's cleared up, and some of the later season, maybe the first May planted corn, has looked a lot better. But again, warm, moist days like we're seeing doesn't bode well for the conditions in the corn or the bean crop.
I have a little problem, too, with everybody talking about we're going to harvest a lot next week when we've had 8 to 9 inches in the last week and might not get in the field till Wednesday or Thursday. And by then, what's the weather going to be?
Corey, go ahead.
You no, go ahead. Go ahead. You'd ask the question.
All right. Well, I wanted just to move to the soybeans then because I'm not sure that there's a whole lot more to talk about on corn. I mean, really, it's just a matter of waiting the game out, isn't it?
That's exactly right. It's a waiting game at this point in time. We're definitely just waiting.
You know, do you have to do a lot of hand-holding on your end?
Yeah. I mean, we've got producers that are extremely nervous right now. I mean, there's a lot to think about when you've got all that corn sitting out there staring you down. And, I mean, you know, you don't have the time or the ability to get it out.
I think one thing interesting that the trade's starting to wonder is that with limited corn harvest done, you've got a big report coming out here in a couple of weeks, I guess the 10th of November.
That's correct.
How accurate is the USDA going to be able to predict? Is it just going to be another dart thrown? And there's been some question on ear weights. And is this any better than last year? I think there's some questions starting to be raised as far as, is this crop really as big the longer it sits out there as people make it out to be?
And I think going back to that, the longer that sits out there, the smaller it's going to get. I mean, on average, you're going to lose, you know, maybe 8 to 10% of the estimated just yield losses.
And that test weight, I think, is real important. I don't think the test weights are going to be near what they've been in the past.
All right. Maybe I'm hearing something different than I thought to begin with on corn. I want to stick with this for just a second. Are you friendly this market then?
I am long term, short term. If we actually do have it dry out and harvest, we'll have harvest pressure. But long term, I am, because I think with the test weight of the corn, I don't think it'll be as big as they're talking.
AgriVisor?
I agree with that. I think short term we're going to have some setback in corn, but I think long term that we're going to see the prices increase.
The key for me, and I'm friendly long term specifically in the Dease 10, because you couple that with a potentially smaller crop because of the longer it sits out there, but also the fact that not much fall tillage may not be done. So people may be forced to plant more beans next spring because of the late fall.
Well, on that issue, the folks in Iowa, the folks in Minnesota have not suffered until this year a whole lot of SDS, and their beans, I don't think they're particularly satisfied. And when you talk to them, they say, we'll be able to do the tillage. I guess they're used to doing it in frozen conditions. And they're going to go ahead and plant corn on corn next year. Are you sure you've got that one right?
Well, at this point, that's just my opinion. I think the eastern Corn Belt is going to struggle to get their fall tillage done.
I think we'll have tillage problems, but farmers can do lots of things. I think what they're going to look at is, what's the bottom line? Where am I going to make the most money? And if South America grows 6% more acres of beans and has a normal crop instead of half a crop, beans could have a really low number on the front end, and that would be more corn in the spring.
All right, so let's go with the bean number, which isn't all that low, but it's not as high as certainly it has been in a while. November beans at $10.19¾ were its top this week. The bottom at $9.59¼. Settlement price down 28 cents, $9.78. The November 10 contract at $9.50½, down 19½. What are you telling producers, Corey, this week about their beans and cash sales?
Well, I've been saying, if we've got an opportunity to, especially after when the market went up, you know, that we had a higher price there, I was telling producers to lock in and get some sales on the board while it's there, while the ability's there. Take advantage of the rally, and then as it falls off, you know, we'll see what we need to do on the next go round.
Pete, you said the South American crop is looming, and it probably, by all accounts, will be a big one on 2 points. They probably will have more acres. They probably will have better weather. But
they've also planted it earlier than ever, and so it'll be harvested sooner, some of it. So they've been getting it in better than they have in the last several years.
Are you the opposite, though, is with beans that you are with corn? So corn.
I'm getting rid of any beans that I can at a fair price. When they were over $10, we were telling people just unload them, and if you're going to keep them, buy puts. But we would be unloading cash beans as quick as we can, thinking that they could easily, because of South America, next year be a couple bucks lower than they are now, just due to the economics of the world. China bought from us from April clear through the present. They've switched some now to South America, but we won't have those sales next year is a good possibility.
The deluge or rainfall not going to be a problem with the bean crop?
No, I think it is. It's already a major problem with the Delta. And I think two things. A, I agree with Pete. I think if you get $10 cash, it's a good opportunity to unload some of your old crop. But also at the same time, we've encouraged people to deliver them in the fall where there's no carry in the market. Maybe put them on a basis contract as an alternative if they really want to stay long beans, or look at replacing them with a call. But I think, obviously, the deterioration in some of the areas could cause question into the size of the bean crop as well.
Would you question the size of the bean crop coming up in the November report?
Yeah, I think going back more to what Pete had said, I think I question the size of the bean crop that we're going to have in South America. I mean, they've talked about having this large bean crop. Yes, they have planted more acres. Yes, it has been earlier. But at the same time, there are weather risks that are there, and it seems like they always miss their mark. So I think that's a little too early to tell on that South American.
Okay, I'm going to open a different floodgate and let you guys talk about it. So go ahead.
I think one thing you have to look at is price. Right now, if you look at beans, there's no reason. They aren't paying you to store beans. The price further out is the same or less than it is now.
All week long, I heard outside markets, outside markets, outside markets. So tell me again, why the outside markets?
Well, I think two reasons. One, I think when you see a down hard day on the dollar, there's a lot of people bearish the dollar. And when you get so one-sided, we know what happens. You generally see a turnaround or a correction. And that's what happened this week. The dollar's been beat up because of the fear of inflation. And we started to see a little bit of a rebound in its progression as it's due for a correction here in a while. And when that happens, we see pressure on the grain market.
Outside markets, from your perspective, did
yeah.
he get it all right?
He got it right, exactly.
Anything else?
I think you have to put in crude oil on the Dow with it. Crude oil was up 250 yesterday. The day before, it was down 250. Today, it was back down 250. So down 250, up 250, down 250. The world economy and the U.S. economy is still something that they're worried about, and usage comes in there on that. And I think you have to put the Dow in there also. The Dow went up and hit 10,000. It went back to, what, 9,500 this week?
Yep.
And it's just been like a back and forth, like a bouncing ball. And that affects people's thoughts about why they should buy anything.
Yeah, well, Pete Yahoo said that the recession's over. So I guess we should all just...
I don't think the recession's over for another couple of years.
No, it's going to be a long road. In the outside markets, the Dow, up and down, along with the price of oil. I mean, it's just a roller coaster.
It took me a while to figure which Yahoo you were talking about, but I believe that you meant the company,
it could have been
right?
anybody in here, right?
Any Yahoo around.
Good point.
All right. So livestock producers, anything that they need to be concerned about, I did make note that with the extension specialist... They, on Monday, will be talking about mold issues in corn because they keep getting those questions from their livestock producers, and I suspect that's because that's what they're finding in their field. Have you seen it?
We're starting to see it a little bit earlier. Like I said, the corn condition has improved, but the longer it sits out there in adverse conditions, the greater concern that's going to be.
All right, here's some of the rest of the numbers, including the livestock numbers. The October live cattle finished at 81.65. They were down 4.70 for the week. The feeders at 94.80, down 67.5 cents. Dease lean hogs at 56.70 finished the week $3.67.5 higher, and we did not give you the wheat numbers. Finished like this in the December contract, down 53.5 cents at $4.94.25. July at $5.37.25, off 52 cents.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. It was another dreary October week in Illinois. Rain, heavy at times, came in two waves through the state. The first came through on Tuesday with the heaviest rain in southwestern and western Illinois. The second wave came on Thursday and Friday with more heavy rain across the southern and central portions of the state. At the beginning of the week, October 2009 was already the third wettest October on record, and when all is totaled up at the end of the month, this will likely be the second wettest October on record. There is more than 2 inches difference between the second wettest and all-time wettest, so achieving that mark is not likely. It was not as cold this week as it has been the rest of the month. However, cloudy skies most of the week certainly kept it from feeling much warmer. Temperatures this week were near normal across the eastern half of Illinois and 1 to 3 degrees below normal in the western half of the state. Once the late-week storm pulls away from the Midwest, Illinois residents should enjoy a few days of dry and mild weather. High pressure drifting through the region will keep any rain at bay until perhaps Thursday, when a cold front may sag into northern Illinois, triggering scattered showers. It appears that the front late in the week will move slowly through Illinois, and that may keep the prospects for rain alive at least into next weekend. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, October the 30th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Brian Stark from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and Corey Winstead of AgriVisor LLC out of Bloomington, Illinois. Our guest on the phone line is Gavin McGuire. He's a director at eHedger in Chicago, Illinois. Gavin oversees the firm's analysis and commentaries on the commodity futures markets, ensuring eHedger customers are up to date with all the latest major trends in the commodities arena. Interestingly enough, before joining eHedger, Gavin worked as a financial commodities journalist for Dow Jones Newswires, first in London, UK, and then in New York, and made regular contributions to the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and other publications, as well as appearing on CNBC. And today, he's our guest right here on Commodity Week. Hi, Gavin. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I was reading and listening to some of the rest of the folks in Chicago, and they seem to be turning more friendly this crop. Are you doing the same?
Well, it depends on which crop you're talking of. I think we would be delighted to have a chance to buy corn in the corn futures down in the low 330s if we could get that chance again, because we're getting to the point where we think there's a lot more upside bias to the corn market once we get any harvest dip behind us, but are actually anticipating the soybean market to have a tough time over the next couple of months. And I think we're inclined to agree with Pete Manhart's assessment that a large South American crop is coming our way, and I think the timing of purchases from China will be the key, but it's not beyond them to step away from buying U.S. goods, and they would be delighted to see the global price plummet, and they'll take advantage of it down there. So we think we're anticipating 30 million more tons of production out of South America this coming year than a year ago. That's plenty of beans, and that's going to hurt the price. So corn, we like the look of, you know, a month from now onwards. Beans, I think we'll probably have a chance to buy them very cheaply at the end of February during the month of March.
Hey, Gavin, this is Corey. How are you today?
Hi there, Corey. Good to speak to you.
Good. Back in August, I know that you were pretty bearish or negative on the corn market, really expecting it to go below $3. And since then, we've rallied quite a bit here. What is your opinion on the corn market? And since we didn't get a lot of changes in the supply and demand, you know, fundamentals are haven't changed that much. What do you think it drove that market?
Well, you know, from August, we were really bearish from before that point. We were bearish from June onwards, and had anticipated the dip that we saw in September down into below $3 in many areas in the cash market. Since then, the rally that we've seen, particularly over the last 3 weeks, has really been about a lack of harvest activity that has drained the supply pipeline, and that's certainly gotten ethanol guys urgently looking to acquire fresh supplies. And so that's been a major driver there. But also the dramatic fall in the U.S. dollar has played a big role. I know Todd is skeptical of that outside market influence, but we're actually seeing a meaningful relationship between what the dollar does and the reaction that we're seeing in an array of commodities markets. And if you just put an inverted dollar chart up against, you name it, cotton or corn or cattle, whatever you like, they all move in lockstep. So there is definitely a relationship there. We're wondering why a lot of people are buying it with the buying commodities with the aggression they are every time the dollar moves. But it seems like the dollar is the dog and we're the tail, and we respond very aggressively. A small 1 or 2 percentage move in the dollar seems to equate to a 8-10% move in our markets. And so we've seen this exacerbated upside move in the corn price lately that's really been tied more to the dollar than to anything else. And we think the dollar will the corn price will resume a downward push once we finally get some harvest cranked up there and replenish the tight pipeline that currently exists.
Brian at the Andersons here, Gavin. Just a follow-up to your commentary. There's been a lot of talk recently that with the fear of inflation and kind of everyone bearish the dollar, that more money will continue to flow into commodities before the end of the year. But at the same time, we've seen the government look at regulating or posing stricter regulations on speculation. How do you think that impacts investment, or do you expect more money to flow into commodities here before we get to 2010?
We do expect some continued, forays by the spec community into our arena. But it's interesting that you noted the expectation for the dollar. We're actually wondering whether the dollar, just as everybody gets bearish any market, the market itself tends to do the opposite. And we think people are too bearish the U.S. dollar right now. And so we wouldn't be surprised to see the U.S. dollar make a push higher from here towards the end of the year. You know, our main assumption there being that there's so many global investors, big, institutional investors that have been playing the dollar carry trade for the last few months, meaning that they've been selling the dollar basically borrowing the dollar at zero interest rates, selling that and then purchasing any array of commodities and assets that you can think of, each of which return more than the 0% interest that they're being charged on that dollar. But those institutional investors are going to have to repay the dollar debt by the end of the year. because that's how they're going to book their profits and earn their juicy Christmas time bonuses. So we think we're going to see a round of dollar purchasing that will support the dollar and give our markets a bit of a deflation period into the year end. And so that's our assumption there. We work with a lot of people on Wall Street to try and get a good handle on that, and that's their expectation as well.
Hey, Gavin, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
With corn harvest being very slow, let's say we get 3 weeks of really good weather, but we have high moisture corn. Most elevators out there, if they get locally six or eight farmers harvesting a lot of corn, are going to have to close down during the day because they cannot dry it quick enough to get that into where it belongs. I really think harvest is going to extend a lot longer than anybody thinks. And how is a very long harvest, even with good weather, going to play on market prices?
That's an excellent point. We are seeing problems not just at your elevator level, but even at wet milling processing plants. I'm sure the Andersons rep can speak better of this, but even the wet milling plants are having trouble dealing with just how wet the corn is. And so there's going to be a backlog of corn all the way into the next year. There's no doubt about it. And already there's many hours of long lines outside drying facilities, and that's not going to get any better. How is that going to impact the price? It's going to be a tough and volatile period over the next few weeks. I think we've already seen the lows in corn. I think we're going to see another downward leg as capacity gets really tested as far as drying capacity. And once that's met, I think prices will not fall any further. But this, the whole concept of every combine being able to roll and cut corn at the same time, once they've gotten the beans out of the ground, that is, I think that'll limit upward price movement as well. So we think corn is probably going to be due for a bit of a sideways stretch for some time until we start to see all of the major demand sources pick up. And they will, because sub-$3.80 corn, I think, makes a lot of industries affordable at some point. Ethanol is already in the game, but I think we're expecting the livestock industry to also step in. And so that we're going to find corn find a nice support leg until we get through this harvest pressure, and then we're going to start to head higher sometime in the new year.
Any final word from you before we let you go for the day?
I think the beans number, that's going to be an interesting one. We know about the Delta crop swimming literally right now, and we're worried about the state of that crop for sure. But we also are worried that we could see an upward revision in the yields we see in Illinois, because even though fields are soggy here, I think the yield is pretty juicy. So we may see an offset there where the damage done in the Delta is offset by Illinois. The national yield of the beans here rises just a little, and the bean price heads lower as a result. So we're still worried about the bean price having a downward leg pretty soon. And so, again, once more, recommend that producers use any rallies over the near term to sell off any cash and don't get caught in any downdraft.
Thanks so much, Gavin. Gavin McGuire is with the Hedger out of Chicago, Illinois. A quick final word from our panelist in studio, Brian Stark of the Andersons.
Just continue to have a safe harvest. I know it's been a long one. It's going to continue to be long, stretching out maybe into December, so please be safe.
Corey Winstead of AgriVisor LLC.
Yeah, be safe out there. Participate in upswings in the market.
And Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
When we have swings up, sell some cash or do something to take advantage of those higher prices.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can always download it as a podcast if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great week, and do be safe out there during this harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.